Okay, so can I have a motion to open the public hearing for application for a community development block grant in the sum of $860,000 for community facilities, sanitary sewer pump stations? So the public hearing portion is for comments containing to the application for the CBDG grant for $860,000 for the community facilities, sanitary sewer pump stations. So, are you here to? Thank you. Oh, second? Sorry.
Second. I was just here to find out what station this was and where what they're doing. I don't have a, I don't have any idea where this.
So it's both. It's both pump stations need to be replaced. It's over $4 million that we've asked for congressional state congressional directed funding. But if they were to give it to us, then we would need to come up with a 20% match. So this would be our 20% match to replace both pump stations.
So the block grant would be your match?
Yes. Yes.
And how much is, who's doing the other part?
Hopefully, yes. Our project has been moved to the next phase. Right, Larry, is that what it's been moved to the next phase of the list? Both of the congressmen have moved it forward. They have recommended it be funded now, whether it does or not, but it has been recommended for funding. So we're hoping that if that gets funded and we can get this, and that'll cover our portion and we can get two brand new pump stations.
That's good.
Which is why you're here. Pump stations. I know, right? It's what's needed.
Was there, I thought they said there would be a handout or information.
There's an application. The application's in the packet. The application also by the public hearing notice was available since Monday the 5th, or Friday the 5th.
On the town website.
Okay. Yeah. I can walk through it, but and our engineers here to talk to the technical aspect of it, but these are old, failing infrastructure. We've applied for funding in the past, not been successful, but we do have a record of applying for funding. We've also got the engineering report to the extent that we can with what we have. I mean, it's not designed yet. That's part of what we're applying for. So critical infrastructure, aged, failing in the both of them are in the floodplain.
So it's one up here on the corner of, what is that?
North Main. And
North Main. And then one down here.
In the Murray.
And our engineer can speak to some of the catastrophic close calls we've had lately, including one in the middle of December, which actually we did have a spill and had a report back to MVD on that. So,
Hi, come in and sit down.
Part of the reason to ask for full funding is we are carrying a lot of debt. So if we had to go out and borrow it, it's correct. So that's what we've got. CDBG is federal money that goes through the state, various state agencies. It's meant for a variety of issues, including capital infrastructure, housing, workforce development, parks and recreation, helping some other things.
Making streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is all we're applying for this year. Now, of course, there's other funding cycles going to be available, but right now the pump stations are sufficiently troublesome.
They're really needed for this one now.
So that's what they are.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the good news about this is both the congressmen have earmarked to move forward, so it's on the short list, which puts this application in a very advantageous spot as the match, because the other part is not guaranteed, but already down the road. If that were to dry up and this were successful, you would have the design and the environmental report and everything accomplished already, so when it comes back around next year, you're ready to go again.
Oh, but great, okay.
It's these two are kind of courting each other right now as the 80-20 20, and that both of them have kind of understand each other, that it's a pretty good possibility that you get 100% funding out of these two sources.
That would be lovely.
It'd be great.
So, Larry, just technical question. Say we got the $860,000 this year, we did all the preliminary work. Does that count as a match if we spend it before we actually have the other?
I think we can make that case. You have to do design and environmental work first before anybody was.
I didn't know how that was. Yeah, I just didn't know how that was worded to be sure. I don't hate to spend it on something we need, but then to come next year and get awarded it and still have to come up with another 20% match, I was just curious.
The good news about the CDBG is I think it's a 2-year time frame.
Okay.
So even next year it would still be in play.
Okay.
As a match.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And I do need to correct the record, which was both in brain freeze on my part, my error, and a slip finger. It's actually 800,000.
Oh, 800, not 860. Okay. The one paper in the packet does say 800 for the resolution.
Yeah, 800
okay.
is the correct answer.
Okay.
So, Mary, you need a motion.
No, we just need a motion to close the public hearing if there isn't any more comments on the community block grant public hearing portion.
Well, I make a motion to close the public hearing on the application for the community development grant, block grant, in the sum of $800,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have regular public comment. Anybody? Let's see. Great. Next we have our bicentennial honorees. So each month we have been selecting bicentennial honorees to honor for our 200-year history, and these are members from the past and the present that have contributed to our 200 years. So our legacy person is John W. Stowell, and he is from 1869 to 1955. So Mr. Stowell began his printing career on the old Fettlesburg Courier. When the linotype machine entered the printing office, it eliminated the need for hand compositors. And he came back to Fettlesburg and brought some type and hand press. He then founded a printing business in his bedroom in Fettlesburg in 1889. During the first few years, the young printer put out little magazines for stamp collectors and coin collectors. He solicited business far and wide. His business grew when he moved into a vacant room over his father's general store. A year later, the store burned and everything burned with it. He then built a small frame building, continued to grow his business. After the death of H.P. Chambers, the company printed the Fettlesburg Courier, a weekly local newspaper, until it was sold in 1926. Stowell Printing also published monthlies, weeklies, print papers, and magazines for churches, colleges, philanthropic, numismatic, and law societies, novel, stamp, fruit and flower catalogs, conference minutes, pamphlets, programs, booklets, letterheads, and all kinds of other things that needed to be printed. Around 1927, the output of printed matter from Fettlesburg so increased the volume of the post office that they gave the town an actual post office for city mail delivery. Around 1949, his son John Stowell took over the active management of the printing house. The father continued to work long hours in the business until his death in 1955. So our community honoree, is it Gillard? I didn't want to mispronounce it. Gillard, okay. Mary Lou. For those of you that don't know, it is Miss Lulu, which is how I call you. Miss Lulu was born and raised in a small island as Lagunave, located in the Caribbean, commonly referred to as Haiti. She left Haiti early in 1990 in her early 20s and migrated to the United States in the Fettlesburg community. She has been married for 34 years and has two children, 29 and 25, and has one grandchild that is 1 year old. She attended college in Port-au-Prince, and it was a major in business with a minor in clothing design. Mm-hmm. When she left Haiti, she entered the United States. She was filled with love for She was filled with love in her heart, hope in her mind, and faith in her spirit. She had everything she could imagine, only there was something else missing. After settling, she was instantly faced with a surplus of challenges, mostly due to the lack of guidance for Haitian immigrants, along with the obvious language barrier. There was no one who could serve as a liaison between the rising group of Haitian people and its community leaders that could better help support the Haitian community with respect and confidence. So one day she took action and stepped up. She went to school to learn English as her second language. She started a business, Lulu's Mini Market in Fredericksburg, in 1999, where the Haitian people could come buy their native food products. It is still here in town, called the Ebenezer Store. She is in Fredericksburg and assisting any agency who serves the Haitian Creole speakers. In 2005, she entered serving our community as a liaison for the Caroline County Public Schools in Fredericksburg, Maryland. She's excited to say that 27 years in the community's voices are still here, and she is having a positive impact in the community, serving as a liaison, a mentor, counselor, teacher, translator, minister, and business owner. She loves her community. When she first came, she was embraced with open arms, and now she wants to return the favor. She is thankful for the love of her life, Pastor, Louis Marillis, and for always being her biggest supporter. She says, thank you to my community for giving me support and for the reason to keep me pushing. Thank you for all the opportunities you have opened up for me. Thank you for many who read my story, and she will be forever grateful. So thank you. So Miss Lulu, thank you for all that you do for bridging the Haitian community and for the mentorship. And I know you are a valued person at the elementary school, and I see the kids with you, and you do wonderful things up there with them. And mm-hmm. I think it's great what you do for the community, and we really appreciate you for you know being a member of our community and what you do for us.
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate all you do.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for everything. And I'm so excited to be here this evening, and you're always open up for me to be part of the community. I really love it here.
You're awesome. We love you, and thank you so much for that. So can we take a quick picture with you?
Yes.
And you don't have to stick around for the rest of the morning. You can go back to work.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know.
Kim?
Yeah.
One of these days.
I know.
Lindsay. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it at least one. For posterity.
And I'm going to take the limelight.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to take the limelight.
And our professional photographer. I know, right? Mom, Mr. Ed.
Cheese.
You would think you would smile when you get food every time.
You want me to tell a joke?
You probably better.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. And we will be seeing you at, they have the community, the Haitian night at the elementary school.
Well,
we're going to be going. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
Yay, you.
I'm excited to see you, Vincent.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going back to work.
Thanks, Miss Lulu.
Thank you. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Okay, next we have Resolution 2023-06, application for the Community Development Block Grant.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this is the resolution for the town to submit the application for $800,000. This will be $800,000 community development block grant for the Federal Borough Pump Station project. It needs to be submitted as part of the application. Application is due the 7th of June.
Is there any further discussion?
Just that on page 2. You may know this, Larry, I'm not sure, the Maryland Community Development Block Grant application.
Okay.
You listed as $860,000 there also.
It's all getting straight. I think it actually is all straight. I changed pages.
Okay. I just want to make sure you knew it was there also.
It's also not complete yet. There's still some items that we need to add. I don't think they have the maps in yet. Maybe they'll pull those from the MDE application.
Okay.
But I think that they were even set on the technical stuff now. So. And we all got some more letters of support for the project that needs to go in. So they're not in this packet. They're in the binder in Bart's office. Anybody wants to review that?
All right, very good. So can we have a motion to adopt Resolution 2023-06, the application for the Community Development Block Grant for $800,000?
I make a motion that we adopt Resolution 2023-06, the application for Community Development Block Grant in the sum of $800,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Fingers crossed. Okay, next we have review and adoption of the Community Development Block Grant Participation Plan.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, members of Council, this is two plans that could be considered or adopted or both. It's a plan that's good for 5 years. So the last time Federal Work pursued funding, that community, that citizen participation plan has long since expired. With some modifications, it works off the template that DHCD provides. So it does talk about providing technical assistance. It'll have minimum of 2 public hearings, had one now in anticipation of the application. Assuming we're funded, we have another one on the project itself, so that would be much more detail about what the project is, available maps, engineer speak, et cetera. There's one reference in there about the anti-displacement and relocation assistance plan. This project is in place of footprints of facilities that already exist, so we don't have to acquire anybody's property. We don't have to worry about right of way. We're not going to displace anybody from their home or their business. So that plan is not necessary for this application. Otherwise, it kind of speaks to itself of what it is. So that's staff's recommending that Mayor and Council review it and make either any recommendations for modification or in which case I would say approve it conditional to that, because there's not another regularly scheduled meeting before the 7th of June or adopt it as is.
Did anybody have any other changes to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we have a motion to adopt the Community Development Block Grant Participation Plan as distributed?
I'll make a motion to review and adopt the Community Development Block Grant Public Participation Plan as distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have the AMI water meter project update.
I believe we have guests on Zoom.
Yay, yes.
You do have guests. How are you all doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. First, I'd like to say thanks for your support in this endeavor. I think everything's going well. We are at 81% of install. Currently, we have a 99% read. When I say 99, we got 1% that it's reading, but it's probably one of the meters that's up against the house where there's a tank on top of it. It reads intermittently, but that's basically the only issue that we're discovering is where it's at. But we're on target to get it done. They're installing an average of 48 meters of that currently. So hopefully everything seems to be working well.
Awesome.
I'm Steven. We met a while back. I've been in town a bunch of times, pretty much 2 or 3 days a week. I'm in town working, helping the guys. Larry, do you want me to do a beacon presentation?
Yeah, I've actually got it up on the screen.
Okay.
And for the sake of general interest, 928 meters are registered. Just because there was a data dump on Thursday, but there's almost, 1,050 in the ground now?
Yeah.
And out of 928, one is not reporting. So So I'll take that as a 99.9% efficiency. I'll take it. But yeah, I've got the Beacon home screen up for administrators anyway. So if there's anything you want to walk through, system sync or monitoring analytics, I mean, just say it. You can do it.
Okay. So right now I can see that you're looking at the at a glance
correct.
Page, and at the top we're showing 1 meter is not reading. You click on that little arrow at the bottom right of that block there. Let me try something there real quick. Actually, no, I'll keep walking through. So
somebody
scroll down.
Yep.
So you can scroll down.
Larry,
you see this is 307 Central Avenue. I pulled up Google Maps on my screen, and I know exactly which one this is. This is over there by the little grocery store on the corner on Central Avenue, or beer store. Fresh Deli?
Lucky's Corner.
Yep. So this meter is in a driveway of this house, 307, and you know, when a car comes and goes, it occasionally parks over top of it and blocks the signal. So this meter for the rest of the 20 years will probably be intermittently working on and off. Like, it'll read one day, it might not read for 2 days, and it'll read again the third day. It'll be back and forth reading just because the location of the meter fits. That's kind of little things that we will find and have issues with throughout the next 20 years of our life.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a way to make a note in here about that particular meter so that if we continue to see, you know, that little red arrow, we're like, oh, yeah, this is the one that somebody parked their car on it, right? Just so, you know, I don't need to have two different people, like, chasing down something that somebody's already done some research on, so... And Larry just popped the notes up on the screen, so perfect.
Yeah, so, Larry, whoever goes out and evaluates the situation and say, this one's got, you might have a car parked over it. I was walking around Interstate Avenue the other day, and a lot of these meter pits are sitting, like, basically underneath the air conditioning unit behind the apartment. And, like, those might start having issues every once in a while. And, you know, as time progresses, we can start building data and writing notes that are saying, hey, this location, there's a bush planted right on top of it, there's an air conditioning unit planted right on top of it. Start building some data on that point. Another big thing for that note spot is building complaints. So, Larry, let's go back to the at-a-glance page. All right, let's scroll down to Flow Health. Let's look at Leaks Detected and click on the little arrow. All right, scroll down so you can see some accounts. So, Interfaith Avenue, 119 Interfaith Avenue. That's it's a single family residential apartment. This one's detecting that it's 38 gallons an hour being May 3rd. So for the past month, basically whenever this meter was installed, it's been detecting that there is a flow. Me knowing that this is a residential apartment, I know that this place is not pumping out 38 gallons an hour all day long. We need to either as a utility reach out to the customer and say, hey, you know, we think you have a leak in your house, you have a faucet running somewhere, we need to do something to address this. Let's say you go and knock on the door and talk to, don't say the name of the customer because rental property, let's say it's Sandy lives there. You can say, add a note and say, Larry spoke to Sandy on Tuesday and inform her that we think there's a leak inside her house or she has a running faucet. That way, when the bill comes and she has a bill for $3,000 or let's say $500, she is liable for that. She, you know, it's not your fault. You reached out to her multiple times and said, hey, you have a problem here. Let's address this. And it gets you out paying comp fees and stuff like that.
Is that time and date stamped so somebody couldn't go back in and delete or remove it when you add in comments?
So comments stay there forever.
Right, okay.
So one thing that we've learned too is don't say anything bad about a customer.
Right.
Because if you ever say something out of context, you know, you don't want that data to be in there. But yeah, the notes stay there forever.
Okay.
It'll always be linked to that account.
Okay. So that would just be a record of, I mean, it should be official anyway. Nobody should be putting anything that would be, you know, negative anyway, but if they spoke to somebody, then it's a record, matter of record now.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You don't want to say, hey, this guy was maybe rude, you can write that, but you don't want to say, hey, he was a jerk, and I'm, you know.
Right.
You don't want to take it personal.
Right.
So, another thing is what we want to start doing is promoting Island Water. So with Island Water, you'll use your account number that's on your bill and your zip code. And then you'll put in the email address, and it'll create an account. It's free. It doesn't cost the customer anything. And allow the customer to see their water bill right from their cell phone or from their computer. If anybody in here wants to do that as a demonstration, we can do it. Or I can do it off of this thing later on. We can bounce off the side and do it. But Island Water will allow the customer to see what's going on and see their flow and set alerts. I know Larry, he checks his every day, figuring out how much water he's using. This person can send an alert saying, hey, I want to alert if my house uses more than 30 gallons in a day, more than 200 gallons in a day.
I got my account up.
So on the plus side, when I go on vacation, I would know if my irrigation was working.
Yep.
That is still the whole town.
Larry, do you mind if I try to share my screen and then can you share the Zoom?
I can't. Actually, I'm not the administrator.
Okay, never mind. It's all good.
I'm not the host.
No, but I mean, I can do that, but then I'm not connected to the computer, so I wouldn't see it interactively on the computer.
Okay, never mind.
But there's your 15 minutes if you're interested. You can see your 15-minute increments and see who's taking a 44-gallon shower.
So once we do, I have, like, screen capturing stuff, so what I'll do is I can screen capture me logging in, like, to do, like, a little YouTube video to show residents how to do that. And then I think we can post that with directions as well, but to be able to get that out in multiple wings, sometimes it's a little easier for people just to watch what to click on. So I think that would be helpful.
And then I know Jeremy sent Larry and Christy the PDF file with instructions on it. I can resend that if you need to, and then I can send you, Kim, that way you have it. But
yeah.
It's very easy, like, you download the Island Water app on your phone, and very self-explanatory.
Do you have those in Spanish and Haitian Creole?
I would say Spanish, at least.
Okay.
I've never been asked that, so that's first.
Well, that's definitely, if we can get us the Spanish, we'll take the Spanish, and then we have somebody else that we can use for translation for the Haitian Creole.
Oh, for directions, right? Yeah,
yes.
I can definitely get it for probably the directions.
Okay.
Yeah, when you log in, you can set a country or language. So, yes, on the app itself, they can change the language.
Okay. But we'll need the directions and those also. Awesome. Okay.
Okay, so what a few things I want to look at. So let's go back to the monitor page, Larry. So scroll down on the left side, you'll see a thing that says sensors, and then we'll click on water You bought, find that later?
Yeah, we've got two up.
Okay, do you see 331 Federal Manor?
I do.
Alright, so click on the more button where it says hide other meters on the right side.
Done.
Alright, and then let's go to our 15-minute data, or our minute data. Just scroll up.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then on the right there, it'll say more options. You click overlays and water pressure. So you'll see more options on the right, and it'll drop a little box down.
Yeah, it says close.
And then on the left side,
oh, there we go,
yeah. Closing.
Yeah.
And then click on the water pressure.
Yep.
So at 331 Federal Manor, we have a 3-inch E-series meter. That's a completely electronic meter. It uses sound waves to track the flow of water above the water meter. I texted Summer today and asked him, I said, what happened around 12 o'clock? He said we had a leak and we had to shut the main down. So on this meter, you can see at 12 o'clock today, the pressure went from 60 psi down to 1 psi. So Summer knows about it and everything was weird. They fixed it, but there was a leak. They shut the main down, but you can see that data right in the system.
Pretty cool.
So we can start tracking where the water loss is going, high pressure zones, low pressure zones, stuff like that.
So will the system send alerts for that?
Yep.
Right, to detect the low pressure?
Yes, we got to set the alert and turn on. So Larry scrolled down a little bit. On the right side of the little tab, it says alerts.
Water pressure alert.
Yep. And you can set your thresholds that you want. Let's say your town, I've noticed, runs around 65 psi. So I may set an alert for 40 psi and 80 psi. And you can add people to send notifications. If you want to be Sumner, you want to be Larry, or whoever, you can send notifications to those people.
Cool. Very helpful.
Only on E-series meters.
Oh, yeah. Only on, okay.
Yeah, this only works on the commercial E-series meters.
Gotcha. But still, if it loses pressure where the commercial ones are, chances are it might at least target us where there's a issue.
So, like with your town, you guys have a few commercial meters spread out in different areas that
right.
allows you to kind of get a subset of the whole area.
Right. And did we end up, we put meetings, or have we not yet, as they're working their way around, like in all of the churches and all of the free places, right, we're putting them in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then they put it in our meter box.
Okay.
And kind of other neat thing we could look at real quick is backflows on the at a glance page from the very beginning. Yeah, you just pass it. Scroll up. You write that flow data spot where the chart is and put it on backwards.
Yep, yep.
So, just scroll down a little bit. So, this first one is an error by our installers. They installed this meter in backwards. They went back in and fixed it that same day. So this one's just going to show an error for a couple days, over the next 30 days. And then the second one has 276 gallons in the last 30 days. So this meter, we need to send some or dispatch a utility operator to get out here and diagnose a check valve. There's a check valve in front of this meter that's supposed to prevent water from flowing back into the system. So when there's water flowing through your system, there's constant water kind of like pumping back and forth. And if that check valve is bad, it'll allow that meter to backfeed into the system. And you don't want that as a utility. So this is a quick sign saying, hey, at 213 Brooklyn Avenue, the check valve is bad on the setter, and that setter should be replaced.
What size meter is this, Steve?
This is a 5/8 meter.
So more like it's a hot water heater. It's a hot water heater back pressure system where you're getting back where you're getting your backflow, and it's illegal to do it. I mean, it's illegal, so they got to have the check valve fixed.
The homeowner does.
Yeah, it's a cross connection. It's a cross connection there right now. It's considered cross connection. Yeah, it can contaminate your system real quick.
So are there alerts for those that will be thrown also so that somebody doesn't have to constantly go in here and look? Are those like for the backflow that you can set alerts to send those off?
No, so the backflows don't, there's not an alert alarm. The only thing you can do as of right now, I mean, this program is always growing, but as of right now, it's up to a utility operator or town manager to, you know, once a week, every couple days, check in at the at glance page and just scroll down and look at flow health. And dispatch was important. These issues have been going on for years and years at your utility, and now we can actually see it in a granular data.
Right.
And start identifying issues. So, you know, that one, that 276 gallons in the past 30 days, that's a big one. That's one we definitely need to take a look at over the next week or so. If you scroll down, there's some that are down to a gallon in the last 30 days. That's such a small amount of flow back and forth that the checkout is good. It's not worthwhile there finding issues. There's always going to be a little bit of flutter here and there, but you want to focus on those big ones. So now, like your meter readers have shown, instead of him spending weeks at a time going around just getting meter reads all the time, your job can transition to maintain the water system, spending his time focusing on leaks and stuff like that, and check valves and backflows, and to actually maintain the system.
Very cool. Lots of data.
Yep. And then one other thing I'll like look at is go back to the iGlance page, Larry. And then scroll down like to the where it says flow health, and to the right it'll say top accounts by usage. Scroll down a little bit.
Yep,
you'll see top accounts by usage. So this is a quick little screen I'll let them look at. And once we start getting more and more data, it'll start working better. But you see Reliance Wood Preserving jumped 19 spots in the past week. That's because we just turned the meter on, just fired it up, and it's showing data. But you will want to keep track of, let's say, in a couple weeks, this person, Williams Kathy, she jumps another 17 points, and she's up there next to Federal Forest Square Apartments. And you see someone that has an extreme cycle forward or up or down, there's something going on in their water system. Either they have a leak, quick way to, at a glance, find a leak or some kind of issue going on. But as of right now, it's all fresh data, so there's going to be things moving around everywhere. But give it a month, and then we can start using that as a data point.
Very cool.
And then on the top left, if you scroll back up to the top where it says communication health, You can change the data from 24 hours to 72 hours. We always recommend keep that 72 hours because, like I said, if a car parks over top of the water meter for a day, it's going to throw you an alert saying, hey, something's wrong with this meter. You don't really want that much granular data. Put it to 72 hours. That way, if the meter doesn't read in 3 days, we can go out there and start diagnosing the issue. Is there anything else anybody might want to dig into?
No, I don't have any other questions. It seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to getting in on my own and seeing what I have.
Yeah, and I know Christy has been very involved with Jeremy. We are going to be alongside Christy for the next 20 years. I mean, Christy's retired here.
Well, about 20 years there.
But we're here and we're going to be, you know, with you guys, and we're here to answer any questions or help solve any issues.
Great. That'll be great.
When does the public information campaign begin?
We've got the English version, so if we disperse some of that, but we want to wait for the Spanish as well. Where we start getting people, but otherwise anybody who comes in here, I'll come out with you. Now, cell phone reception in this building isn't great, but if there's anybody who wants to hook up on our water, it's not hard. You know, we can help them walk through it right here. So.
And you said Haitian, right? Is that the language you want?
Haitian Creole. And if you don't have that, we can get somebody to translate it if you don't already have that. But.
Okay. So, to finalize the project, we have about another 2 weeks maybe for the work, a week of like hard work and then just a little cleanup here and there. And we should wrap this project up and, you know, and be out of your hair.
Great. Looks good. Interesting to see it come together. Do you guys have any other questions?
No.
Mm.
Awesome, guys. Thank you for all of your help. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Larry's been a great help. Summer's been a great guy to work with. Sean's been fun. Christy. She's been a blast. She pulled up in her challenger the other day. Christy is the girl, you know? you guys have been a lot of fun to work with. I've enjoyed it.
Great. We have a great staff, so thank you. We appreciate your help. So looking forward to getting it all rolled out. Hopefully the public will find it just as helpful. Thank you. All right, next we have Resolution 2023-07, Municipal Election 2 District Map.
Yes. So as you all know, you've been working over the last 7 months thoroughly reviewing the town's election system and discussing various amendments to that system. We've recently discussed ways to review and improve the town's election system. And 2023-07 is the formal plan for improving the town's election system, and attached to it is a district map, which Resolution 2023-04 established that you would adopt a two-district map. Resolution 2023-07 provides that this September 2023 election shall be held between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. for the election of the mayor and 4 council members. So everyone will be, every seat will be available for election. The council members in District 1 and District 2 that receive the highest number of votes will be elected to a 5-year term, while the individuals, the candidates for District 1 and District 2 that receive the second highest number of votes will be elected to a 3-year term. the mayor will be elected to the five-year term, which is established in Resolution 2023-04. Then the three-year terms for one member of District 1 and one member of District 2 will expire in November of 2026, at which time they will be available for election again for a four-year term. In November of 2026 and every 2 years thereafter, there will be an election for two council members, and then the mayor would obviously be the alternating every other election. In addition, it includes the two-district map, which is largely based on the district map proposal that you all received from William Cooper, the demographer for the ACLU. This map moves two census blocks. It moves one block off of Reliance into the majority-minority district, and it moves one block off of Bloomingdale from the majority-minority to the white district. The reason for that is solely for, I think, visually it's much easier. It's easier to explain, and it uses the town roads of Bloomingdale, Central, Reliance, and Railroad to outline the two different districts so that if someone were to call, you could easily explain based on where they live on a dividing line of a road as to which district they were in. So in addition, the town received an order from the court after a hearing on a motion for preliminary injunction requesting that the town, by no later than Tuesday, May 23rd, submit a status report detailing how it plans to implement the recently passed resolutions that includes 2023-04, amending the legislative system, and includes the proposed district map with the data. I was able to come up with the data based on largely, again, the information that William Cooper had provided in addition to the GIS system and census block data. And this map, with moving the two blocks, has a deviation of 6.16% total. So it's positive 3.08% in the majority-minority district and negative 3.08% in the white district, which... constitutionally, the deviation number has to be less than 10%. So it actually improves there on the deviation. In the majority-minority district, the percentage of black is 64.83%. And in the white district, the percentage black is 27.2% with 64.55% white.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Rob?
I move to authorize council to submit to the judge the plan resolution 2023-07, the attached map and demographic data to comply with the court order from Judge Gallagher issued on May 9th, 2023.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the Sustainable Communities, Sustainable Maryland, and Environmental Justice Communities updates. Time manager, Dre?
Council, this is an update on a few things that the town of Federalburg qualifies for and is already participating in. The first is the Maryland Sustainable Community designation, which sets a baseline for the town to pursue state funding. It's a five-year approval. Ours will sunset on August 21st of this year, so there are a few things we need to adopt June and July. There was an email again today that said that one of the previous requirements has currently been removed, so that helps. It says in second paragraph, last full sentence, without a current sustainable community designation, a community will not be eligible to receive funding to serve. because our numbers, our data is not great. So that's what we've got. Then there's also similarly situated here. And it tells you what your score is. That's whole of the town is in here somewhere. Fellowsburg is right there. The census tract score, which is 0.76 to 0.9. Interestingly enough, according to NDE staff, and I confirmed this with our engineer, there was a solicitation for projects to the tune of a discrete fund that had been set up, $4 million. No applicants received, applications received from anybody. So they solicited, made a second solicitation. No applications received from anybody, us included. So that $4 million rolls over to next year. So whatever eligible project we might have next year, it's going to be a good sum of money. The way it's explained is the goal is still nutrient reduction, but there's also these other criteria that they want to take into consideration, though, to environmental justice. So that's where we are with that pot of money. So to that extent, apologize for letting the ball get past me into the net on the $4 million worth of funding. But I guess I missed the same thing a lot of people missed. No excuse, just happened.
It was the name of that title that threw us off. We looked at it. We're like, environmental justice.
I didn't know there was a map. No. So we pull up the map, and we go again.
Yep.
Right.
It's another map.
Red, we're pink. If it needs to be dark blue,
right.
We're royal blue. So we qualify for everything.
All right. Perfect. All right. Anything else on that one? Next, we have fiscal year 2023-2024 budget review.
So 2 weeks ago, in anticipation of a bigger crowd, thought I'd just run it again to get the word out in anticipation of the public hearing on the 12th. But hit the highlights. Real property tax rate remains constant. 88 cents on the dollar, 88 cents on $100 of assessed value. The constant yield equalization rate would have been 85.5 cents. The real property tax rate of 88 cents on current assessment yields us $41,159 over the current year. Base revenue has probably already been spent before it's been cell tower lease, that's working its way through. Ideally, that was all done by the 30th of June. This way, that line item shows up as zero. The highway user fund revenue state estimate is $153,563.94, keeping in mind about $121,000 that is used to pay debt service. The debt service payment is an eligible use of that money. Building department rental license inspection fees are proposed to increase by $20 over the current, so go from $100 to $120. The purpose to cover the increased cost of code enforcement and police services that are demanded at some of these properties. And that shouldn't be overly subsidized by every other taxpayer when the problem is at a particular location. So this helps defer some of that cost. And it's not every rental unit, but it's enough of it. Solid waste collection and disposal represents a pass-through. The contract was awarded two meetings ago. The monthly collection is $17.98 to cover the full cost of the service and the contractor's cost of supplying the trash can to every resident for every collection point within the next, well, the first year of the contract. And that rate, according to the contractor's bid and approved contract, is set for the next 4 years. So no need for a rate increase for business, and it explains a lot of how we are where we are. Staff's also recommending that the utility connection fees go up from the current $3,500 each to $5,000 each. So that would raise it from $7,500 to $10,500 to do a water and sewer connection on a new, set a new water and sewer connection for an individual parcel for development. Public safety expenditures account for just under one quarter of all expenditures. Capital projects are limited to those having secured grant funding allocations, including ARPA, which is all of the water meter project is paid for by ARPA, as well as the first phase of the street improvement. And then debt service is anticipated to be in excess of $770,000, or roughly $1 out of every six of revenue across all funds, meaning 100% of government services are paid for through 83% of revenue meant to do so. And there's the famous graphic. All right. This is interest and principal. There's 800,000, there's 700,000, and it goes until it goes. And by 2029, we're down to just above 300,000. That's annual as far as debt service is concerned. According to the audit for the year that ended June 30th of 2022, $749,000 and some change was debt service payment that year. So people wonder why we can't do what we can do. One out of $6 is going to pay for debt. Nothing wrong with that. It's a constraint. We need to live with that. And that's a recap of the recap from last time. Budget public hearing is scheduled for the 12th of June. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I do have a question, but it's not really. When is the bid for the street paving going out on the street?
We just had this conversation on Friday. I hope the end of this month might be.
Sure. All right.
Thank you. This month, hopefully, we get some paving done in this part of August and September. And again, that's just phase one.
Right.
So people have seen phase
something.
Two. And that, again, is done well on the congressionally directed spending earmark, but that's not going to be until after October 1st at the earliest, at the federal fiscal year.
Right.
Might be next year.
I have a quick question procedurally, I guess. Changing the water and sewer hookups to 5,000 each, do we have to do that by a separate resolution, or can we do that as just as part of the budget?
I think we just do it by way of fee, I think is what we did.
I couldn't remember because I was thinking that ordinance listed the price in the ordinance, and I wasn't sure.
I think it did because isn't the connection fee in your town code?
I think so. So I think
yeah.
We got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just do it by the budget. I think we're going to have to be but nice to get that out is why I was bringing that up so we can do it by the budget, and I'll have to have a separate hearing every time. But
right, yeah, I think everything should move.
And I may be wrong on that, Larry, but I was thinking it was tied into the ordinance or whatever. So
yeah, I can check the town code and see if the rates are in there, because if it is, then it is by ordinance.
Yeah, it doesn't require a public hearing because it's not zoning ordinance.
It does, because you're increasing the rates, but not. It doesn't have to be advertised twice, just once.
Okay.
But we still have time between. And with the water and sewer rate increase, it doesn't, I know you want to have it at the same time as the budget, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It can be adopted at any time.
Yeah, I mean, they're so rare.
Yeah.
I mean, it really can be adopted at any time. It's just for the sake of fiscal year, July 1st is ideal. If it's adopted in August, it's not like we're going to get 50
right.
So.
July 2nd, right.
But I just want to bring that up so we were aware.
Okay, any other questions?
No.
All right, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
The only one I've gotten done, Larry, I'm just curious. That white vehicle in that photo with the Delaware tag, do you know who that belongs to?
I do. It belongs to the town of Federal Spur.
When did we acquire that? Any idea?
February.
And what's the purpose of it?
It's a police vehicle. It's replaced the...
What's it, a Mini Cooper?
Durango.
Oh,
it's a Nissan Kick or something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next, Councilwoman Soule.
I don't have a whole lot. Just a reminder that Alliance Cub is having their sandwich sale at Chambers Park on the 19th.
Did you want to mention CSAM?
I can. We met last week. The Caroline County Association of Municipalities met. Jeremy Goldman, who is our county administrator, was there as well as his assistant, Kaylee Leager. And it really was just a nice roundtable kind of loose conversation about things that are going on in the county and very free form and got a lot of good information, helped definitely make some connections with the county. So I thought that went well. And then I do have a little list. We cleaned up the park this last weekend up at Chambers Park and did, or the previous weekend. Did some landscaping and cleaned up around the building, mowed grass. And we also had the mayor's prayer breakfast last week. Last week we had about 50 or 60 people attend, and it was a very successful event, and I was very happy that we got to do that on the National Day of Prayer. I thought that was a fitting day to do that. So.
The one from the one thing about the county level, which is interesting, is they are looking at instead of fixing up the detention center, is doing a combined detention center with the Tri-County area.
Regional
would be Kent, Queen Anne's, and Caroline would all go to one, because the cost of them to renovate just 30% of the one in Denton, they could use less money than what it cost to renovate it or build a brand new one, put it towards the Tri-County regional one. Kent says they have like one person right now on their detention center.
Oh, really?
They don't have, it wasn't many. It's like four, if that, at any given time.
It will go on the site of the pre-release center now that is in Queen Anne's County. So they will utilize that site.
And they will work out transport. Our officers will not have to run up there. They will work out transport either from the Denton location, the sheriff's office in Denton, or schedule pickup. So I thought that was interesting that they were doing that as a Tri-County regional area. Is that it? Councilman Phillips?
June 3rd is Soapbox Derby. May 21st, for those of you that live on West Central, is practice day. You may want to move your car.
I'm going on vacation June 3rd.
She's worried about packing and where she's going to park her car.
Just telling you.
Just remember Sunday. I think it's the 20th. I think it's this Sunday is practice,
it is,
right?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, so I think they were supposed to get out flyers.
We haven't gotten them yet, but
okay.
We usually get them out.
I saw the chief made a comment
this,
that he wouldn't get them out. So again, I don't know if anybody's listening, but if anybody's out there listening, call me. I can get you hooked up. So that's all I got.
What time's practice start?
It's not
usually
not
practice
as early
starts
as
at 1.
Oh, okay.
Because they normally inspect the car Sunday morning at the firehouse and then take a while to get set up and then start around 1.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No.
Councilman Willoughby? All right. I do have a couple of things. This is Police Week, so we did post a note on that for this week. Next week is Public Works, so we will be posting a notice for Public Works Week as well next week, for their recognition for what they do. May 20th, please pray for good weather. We have worked awfully hard on this event on Saturday, and right now there's chance of rain, so I would like to have 0% of rain. So the parade runs at 1, live music starts at 1:30, and will run till 9 o'clock, and then we will have fireworks. So we have a beer and wine garden. There's about 8 or 9 food vendors. We have several other vendors that are just selling stuff, and that will all be in the downtown area. I did a letter with a map today that was distributed to everybody in that at least 2-block area downtown for all the businesses. They were aware we're closing off these parking lots. You will not be able to park here. This is the time the street closes off. I will post that same letter on Facebook just so everybody's aware with the map of like where things are closed off and where people can park for public parking. I attended the If I Were Mayor award ceremony at the State House. So the fourth grader, DeJour Ecri, won District 2. So it was super exciting. The kids, they're all seated, and Governor Moore came in. He shook everybody's hand, congratulated them. He did a great job with the kids, and then they took pictures with all the kids and everybody that was there in attendance. It was a really, really nice event. And I can't imagine being those kids that are, you know, 10 years old sitting there with the governor. We were in the governor's signing room, which is where the award ceremony was. So it was great. DeJour did a great job. I did finally just get a copy of his essay. And actually, the second runner-up, there were five for District 2, and two were Fettlesburg, three were Greensboro. All of them were Caroline County, and I think District 2 is Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, and there might be another one in there. I'll check to see what all of District 2 contains, which was great for Caroline County. And I think they had 1,500 essays turned in, so it was great. So we'll do something for him down here. We'll get something coordinated. July 15th and 16th is the 5K 5-10 Challenge. Did you get my email to stick on there for the 16th also? Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Larry, that might qualify for some of our, because it's a health and fitness thing that we were doing for Fitness Initiative. Sunday I spent 3 hours with Dante London and his son and Officer Weaver, who was the other liaison for it. So the 5K 5-10 Challenge is basically there will be a 5K race, but there is also a CrossFit challenge that they do that people sign up for. So it'll kind of be, the initiative is to get people moving, to get people healthy in the community, and all of the proceeds will go to the Fettlesburg Activity Center to help with them for programs and stuff that they're going to run into there that will be health and wellness, as well as continue to get moving forward in that. So I'm really excited. So we did some promo shots. They did a, Dante's son had a drone, so we did some aerial shots of the river. Of the marina, so we'll be able to get that footage. So part of that they're going to do is like how to prepare if you wanted to participate in one of these. So I think those are things that we can all use. There is not one of these on the Eastern Shore, so I think that will be good for our sustainable Maryland for moving that forward. And that was all I had. So seeing if nobody has anything else for the greater good, I will take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.